Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Boomer Esiason. You're listening to Talkin' Sports with Randy Harris. So stay right there.
All right, we are back in live from, I almost said Tournament de Pizza, from the UFC NX as we get ready for the incredible week that is International Fight Week, Slap Fight, which we're going to do that. Interviews coming up later today, as well as the event itself, Fan Expo.
Yeah.
But there's another thing coming to town. We were talking about the Knights. We were talking about the Oakland A's and how much Oakland must hate the city of Las Vegas. But coming up next February, believe it or not, I think they said that was just the last Sunday without NFL football until February.
Ah, okay.
So let's welcome to the program Bill McConnell, Chief Operating Officer from the Las Vegas Super Bowl Host Committee. I assume that you guys would start worrying about the Super Bowl like around December.
that'd be fun if we had that luxury.
But talk about the process. We had Sam on in the Super Bowl from Radio Row in Phoenix. Just, you know, the whole process. I mean, it's Super Bowl Las Vegas. I understand construction will be done in 2030. So we're going to have that problem, you know, come next year. But what goes into planning? Putting something as big as literally the biggest.
I'm actually very curious. Just while you're on that thing, when does it start? What point does the committee come together for the very first meeting? How long ago? For people that don't understand what goes into creating an event of that kind of magnitude.
Boy, you ask such a simple question.
Yeah,
there should be such a simple answer, but Las Vegas is the most amazing place on earth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know that from the work you've done here and covered in UFC. And so, you know, from many points of view, Las Vegas doesn't really need to do a lot to prepare for something like the Super Bowl because it has experience that most other destinations in the world don't have with putting on big events.
Yeah.
But the Super Bowl is perhaps the most special of events. And so I think what for most Super Bowls, once they're awarded to a community or a city, there's 3 or 4 years of planning that goes into it.
Yeah.
And host committees are established, and the NFL team or the host team gets integrated in with the community and working with the NFL here in Las Vegas. Because there was a condensed timeline, we really didn't have the same runway that other cities have had. So the luxury part of it would have been to have 3 or 4 years of planning.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it is that Las Vegas is such a machine that puts on big events that the network of community leaders, and whether it's the LVCVA or Clark County itself, the Raiders, the stadium, the casino resort partners, there's a lot of motion already in place. And look, the Golden Knights, look what they've done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it goes without saying, going back to when they started and how they have become the region's team, if you will, what the stadium has done to take Las Vegas from the entertainment capital of the world to now we're on the precipice of becoming the big event capital of the world.
Yeah.
What the UFC has done, F1, I mean, the list goes on and on. And so the Super Bowl comes at just the perfect time where we're not looking back. Would it have been nice to have more time to lead up? Maybe, but we're churning now.
You know, when the Knights first got established, and, you know, the rumors of the A's and even the Raiders, you know, and so many people were against it. They're like, why? And I'm like, why wouldn't it? Who, you know, when fans like to travel, they will always pick like one city, one team. Well, who wouldn't want to come to Las Vegas to see their favorite team play the Knights, play if it the A's come, play the Raiders, whatever. So to me, it's an actual no-brainer, to the point where, and I know this, well, I was going to say never happened. Don't ever say never. How about having the Super Bowl in Las Vegas every year?
Well,
I would be okay.
So look, there's so much to say about that. You know, I had the good fortune of the first 20 plus years of my career working for the NFL, okay, in operations and administration. And then the last 10 years I was in Jacksonville as a general manager for the stadium there.
I'm going to keep the Jacksonville comments to myself.
Okay. But in my time, and from my point of view, and I think pretty much anybody from their point of view would have never thought that, number one, that the Raiders could be in Las Vegas, but that a Super Bowl could be in Las Vegas. Yeah. So the fact that the odds of a Super Bowl being in Las Vegas were completely zero at some point, right. The math doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So it just shows a lot about what this community, what this city, what this region has done to get past a barrier that had been forever in place.
Yeah.
And how sports leagues like the NFL, the NHL, and others have embraced the notion of this as a destination. We think that there's two really not necessarily data-driven sort of metrics to look at, but just something that you'll know it when you see it, is after the Super Bowl, when the people of Las Vegas, and that includes Henderson, Summerlin, downtown, of course the Strip in the heart of the entertainment mecca that is Las Vegas, but when the greater community says, yeah, that's right, that's how Las Vegas does the Super Bowl, and everybody feels good about how it was presented, and then the NFL and the guests and the stakeholders say, holy smokes, how are we going to do this like this in any other city? And the answer is you can't. And then that spurs the discussion between NFL and Las Vegas about, okay, what's this rotation going to look like moving forward?
Can I ask you, Bill, is it with the reason I ask, I'm going to ask this question is, you know, there's, because it's Vegas, it almost implies it has to be better than everything else. It's sort of the way that we do it here. And I remember when the Golden Knights started up, I can't remember the name of the gent that I was actually speaking to, that when the Golden Knights came through, one of the guys that was part of the management team, he said, look, off the record, our hockey might suck for the first couple of years. That's a fact. That could happen. We're just starting up with the franchise. He says, the show that we put on has to be the best from the start because we're Vegas. Is there an added pressure with it being Vegas, the very first Super Bowl that's ever taken place in Vegas, and because it's Vegas and because of the entertainment side of this city, is there an added pressure to go, right, how can we push this to the very limit to make sure that there's no doubt this is the greatest Super Bowl that's ever taken place from a logistics point of view, from a show point of view? Is there a real added pressure, or is it just the pressure is always the same when you're doing something of this magnitude?
No, I think it does add to the pressure, but you can't take anything for granted ever. But what Las Vegas has become as a destination in delivering events of the highest caliber and magnitude. Mm-hmm. is just one piece of the puzzle. When you look at what the NFL has created with the Super Bowl, wherever they go, and the two come together, some of it will be organic in terms of the overall event. And look, Las Vegas already, as a destination for the Super Bowl, even when the game's not here, is by many metrics the biggest weekend for Las Vegas as a destination.
Yeah.
And so people are already coming here. And then when you bring the NFL and Las Vegas together, again, the opportunity is really tremendous, but it does require a lot of intricate strategic planning. And as I said before, the stakeholders that are part of it are doing the hard work. So
I told Dana White not too long ago how much I'm looking, well, at the Super Bowl this year, how much I'm looking forward to it, because in years past, like when the Super Bowl was in Jacksonville, I did Radio Row all week, then I flew to Vegas for the UFC on Saturday, and then I flew back to Jacksonville for the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. Well, he's almost assured me the UFC will have an event here that week, which means I won't have to travel. At least I'll travel from Tampa, but at least I'll be able to save on some flights.
The man knows, doesn't he? That's quite a weekend of sport that would be...
And it's always like you said, if you don't go to the Super Bowl, and let's be honest, most people don't, and they can't, they come to Vegas, you know, to watch it in the casinos. Yeah.
That's going to be great. Yeah. I'm going to love that. The I think the amount of fans that will come that obviously haven't got a ticket, that I think this city will be like buzzing more than it's ever done. I think that's it. Is there a specific challenge? You know, you said like you've got Vegas, you've got the infrastructure of the hotels, the travel. You know, we know the ins and outs of that kind of thing. So it is a lot maybe, I'd say easier, but we're just used to big events. But is there a specific challenge that you found, you know, as part of this kind of committee? You go, this is something that we, you know, we're really going to have to focus on.
At.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think a lot of the challenge is from a logistical sense, is making sure that the capacity that the city has and that the stadium has and the footprint around the stadium, given the logistics of important stakeholders, which is any ticket holder, being able to get to the stadium and depart the stadium and back to wherever they're going, in as smooth a manner as possible. I think for those that know Las Vegas, or as you learn Las Vegas, you realize very quickly that to get from point A to point B, you might think, hey, I can just walk there, and you learn the first day, like, oh, okay, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think the changes that happen to the footprint around Allegiant Stadium, because in many respects, because of the security nature of the Super Bowl, makes the entry and departure experience for the Super Bowl different.
Yeah.
And you don't get a chance to test it out. You're doing it for that first time.
Yeah.
And it's got to be done the right way, at a high level of precision and success. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the things that are out of our control, you know, weather or, you know, things that just can't be contemplated. You always have to role play those out and be as prepared as you can. But it's the things that are in our collective control. And when I say our collective control, it is the NFL Super Bowl. They put it on.
Yeah.
We as the host committee facilitate 100% exclusively for Las Vegas the obligations that Las Vegas has made to the NFL.
Weather obviously is always a problem. Being in Tampa, we have to worry about rain. I mean, what weather in February is, it's just cold, right? It's not awful, but it's cold.
You're not going to get me to project the weather.
Well, of course not. I mean,
look,
yeah, it's fine.
Well, but I think the point is, when we came back from Arizona Monday after the Super Bowl, we had a lot of winds, a little snow, a lot of nasty.
Okay. All right.
And I remember us saying, "Well, we're glad this wasn't a year from now on Sunday."
You know, it's typical in Tampa. It's like Saturday. You know, and then the Super Bowl on Sunday.
No, the weather will be fine.
So, I can't wait. Looking forward to it. I've traveled the world covering events, and to me, Super Bowl week and Radio Row is the greatest time of all time.
Yeah.
It's like nothing you've ever experienced. You know, the interviews, and it's not just sports related. It's everybody. You know, all sorts of stories, and then, of course, Media Day with all the freaks that come out and ask some of the silly questions.
and look, I think we all know how awesome it can be.
Sure.
Right? And so that's the fun part of it. That's what makes it different from any other. And to be part of the first Super Bowl in Las Vegas is just, it's historical.
Yeah, it's quite an honor as well. I love it. Yeah, yeah,
no,
I love that.
No question.
Yeah.
It's always the first.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time.
That's it.
Anything else you want to talk about? What'd you bring?
He brought some stuff to talk about.
Yeah. He was just about to ask for tickets.
No. Honestly, I've been, you know, I don't want this to sound crazy. I've been to Super Bowls.
Right.
And unless this is just me, it's the week of.
Yeah.
You know, it's the week of Super Bowl that is like nothing anybody has ever experienced.
Yeah.
The game, to me, unless you're invested in that team, it's just another game. you know,
I understand.
In 2002, yeah, yeah, being covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yeah, that was incredible because it was the Bucs. But
no, here's one more thing that I think I would say. And I don't know how. So being relatively new to Las Vegas and always having had sort of sense of what it is as a destination, now having lived here and been here, there's so much more to Las Vegas than what is
the Strip. Yeah.
And it's almost like a well-kept secret. You know, you venture 2 miles off the Strip and you see the most fabulous geography in the world.
I say this to a lot of people. When I moved here about 7 years ago, and people said to me, I came here, we had a show on the Strip, and people said to me, do you live in a hotel? That was people's perception, that I was actually living inside. I was like, no, because
I'm not Wayne Newton.
But he said, there's a city, there's a town. And when people say, and you always get some people, and it always kind of annoys me when people say, what's it like to live in Las Vegas? And it's always very kind of negative. What's it like? And I was like, stunning, right. Beautiful. One of the most beautiful places in the world, because 2 minutes from my house, you have the Red Rock. Then you have Lake Las Vegas. You know, you're literally surrounded by paradise, Mount Charleston. I'm like, there's one street that we all earn a living off, essentially. Right. But I was just saying before you came on about the nights and what it did to the community, and it really emphasized how great the community is in this city. And I think, you know, a Super Bowl will just kind of, like, that's just all going to bring everything together, you know.
I'll take it even one step further. I was out here doing some broadcasts, and I met this guy, and he goes, what are you doing later? I go, I don't know why. He goes, I'm going to go snowboarding. I go, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We're in Las Vegas. It's 200 degrees out.
Absolutely.
In what, 45 minutes is the mountain? And we went
It's amazing.
Skateboarding and surfing.
It's
and
a beautiful city.
It really, if people wanted to get information or get involved, I'm sure volunteers, all that kind of stuff, is that still possible? Or
Absolutely. LVSuperBowlHC.com. Las Vegas Super Bowl Host Committee.com. Yeah, that's another thing about Las Vegas. The response to our volunteer program. We need 7,000 volunteers. We've already had 10,000 that have registered.
You know?
And so it just goes to show that there's so much more to this community than what is perceived to be. Casinos and a Strip.
100%.
There you have it.
I agree.
All right. I'd love to get you back on. Like to get Sam back on. You know, we've got, 6 months? Is it six months? 7 months?
Yeah, it's getting close. It's
ticking away.
It'll be here before you know it. But
it's ticking away.
I definitely can't wait. Thank you for your time. Let's go hit a quick break as we continue live from the UFC Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is your Uriah Faber, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
If you've never been to Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches before, there really is no comparison. Ike's is about love first, then sandwiches, which is why they take extra special care to make sure there are great options for every kind of eater. No other restaurant in the world has more kick-ass options and endless combinations for meat lover, vegetarian, vegan, halal, and gluten-free. Dutch clutch bread paired with Ike's exclusive dirty sauce, a creamy garlic aioli toasted right into the bread, is a transcendent experience that will electrify your taste buds. Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches has been voted the best sandwiches in the world by Ike's mom. Place your order for irresistible and unforgettable sandwiches for pickup or delivery at ikesandwich.com or through the Ike's Lovin' Sandwich app.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
That is Mark Mike Creed, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Apex. Final half an hour, 2.5 hours in.
I know. It's a marathon.
Good stuff. And
here's a question for you. So, Bill, who we've just had on from the Super Bowl Organizing Committee, do you think the night before the Super Bowl he gets any sleep? Like the night before?
Yes. No, yes.
I suppose all the hard work is done.
Exactly.
By then, but you must have that moment going, it's almost like, did I leave the oven on?
Right.
That moment of going, have I covered everything? Well, have we covered everything?
But like he said, and he came from the NFL world.
Yeah.
The committee is just hosting.
Sure.
It's now... Yeah. It's on the game.
It's over to them.
And the big one, especially in Tampa, and he refused to even joke about weather. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You know.
I mean, likewise. Well, but I think we got the roof there. So
no, for sure.
So as far as that's concerned, it'll be fine. The weather at that time of the year in Vegas is funny because it's always usually bright. You might get like a little sprinkle of rain every now and then, but it'll be absolutely fine. It'll be rocking and rolling.
I'm not sure I've ever been here when it's rained.
Oh,
I need to be here for the Super Bowl.
This year has been bizarre because it's actually the summer started late here, which is funny because it's 110 degrees outside, but the summer actually started late here.
So Steve, who produces the show, texted me like 2 days ago. He's like, hey, I'm just checking. Do I need to bring a coat? And I said, absolutely.
I thought you were going to say like swimming like a thong or something like that for the beach, you know, for the pools.
I told him, yeah, bring a coat. It'll only be 118 at 2 a.m.
But listen, here's the thing. I had this written down, and now we've got a little bit of time before.
No, we don't.
No, is he joining us now?
It'll be pretty soon. Yeah, they just asked if we can take him now. So
yeah, well, very quickly. We'll do it in a moment.
How's that for timing?
We'll do that in a moment.
How's that timing?
We'll do that in a moment.
Alonzo's walking in like I'm ready to fight now.
So
we'll get to whatever.
Yeah. It was a pointless thing that I was gonna say, but we'll get to that. But yeah, go for it.
So now Steve said about the coat. Yes. And I'm like, yeah, bring a coat. It's 212 degrees out. Let's welcome Alonzo Menafield to the show to talk about this Saturday UFC 290. Alonzo, how are you?
Howdy. Doing great.
Yeah, howdy, doing great.
Wednesday fight week. Are they all the same?
Yes, they are running to be the same now. It's a lot of them now. So yeah, it's the same.
Well, you know, and I always ask the fighters, as silly as this may sound, are they the same, or do you want to change them up, or you know, just to kind of keep it, you know, fresh and new, or you know, it's rigid. It's you know, I saw the hat. Are you kidding me? This is my brother. This is. What's up, man? Yeah. Pat Barry. We don't have cameras here, but Pat Barry in the house. What's up, man? I saw the hat, and I was going to make some kind of rose comment. Sorry. This is your time.
No, that's awesome.
Pat's the best. We go back a day or two or decades or whatever.
Yeah, so, history. Got to respect it.
Just a little. Like I just told the Super Bowl committee, I've covered the UFC longer than anybody in the country.
Awesome.
I go back to something called UFC 1. It just means I'm old. That's really all I mean. So, all right, so back to fight week. You know, sometimes, you know, just mixing it up so that it's not the same rigid, you know, 2 o'clock I do this. What time is it? 12:30 I do this stupid radio, national radio show, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I know as I climb the ladder, it'll get more demanding. So I guess I'll prepare for that and, like, what I'll do. But, yeah, I don't know what to make it. To have it feel different, but it does feel like, all right, 12 o'clock here, 12:30 there.
What's it like now that we see who's sitting and walked in with you? What's it like having Pat around.
Oh, the HD? So it's cool, man. I'm getting that one-on-one crash from the UFC Gladiator, you know, days, and having him give me his wisdom. It's yeah, man, I'd say this is definitely been a blessing.
Can I ask you this? There's been a theme over today when we've spoken to different fighters. What was your journey into this sport like? Who was there an inspiration to you, or was there a moment in your life you just went, that's going to be my life, that's my career?
Yeah, I think it was the whole UFC, just watching a car.
Just in general, as a youngster?
Yeah, as a youngster, or in college.
Right.
Because I was a football player.
Right.
And I just watched the car.
Right.
And it's just the whole event and them fighting and slamming and doing crazy. So I was like, man, I want to do that.
who was it? Was it any particular fighter?
Last time I said
it. You don't have to say Pat.
No, last time, he was one of the fighters I used to look forward to seeing. I think it was Brock. And right. I want to say Shane Carwin.
Right.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's when Brock became legit.
Yeah,
you know, in my opinion, because he lost that first round, got dominated,
yeah,
and they should have stopped the fight. You know, in my opinion, and you know, as a licensed MMA judge, you know, I look at things different, and you know, you want to fight the opportunity, blah 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 blah. I fought Brock, and then all of a sudden, round two, like Shane, what happened?
Yeah, he threw the kitchen sink at him.
Yep,
that was it.
And then Brock is then went down as you know as Brock.
I know.
Is this week in this process kind of like, you know, the movie Groundhog Day?
No.
You know, you're fighting the same guy that, you know, that you fought? And
yeah, I mean, it feels kind of like I was just describing it. It's like I'm stuck in sand or cement. I'm like, and I want to move on. So this is kind of what it feels like. It's a blessing to be in America doing this fight.
Yeah. It's obviously frustrating with it. You know, like I said, it's like a moment where you want to step forward every single time you fight.
Yeah.
Win, let's move forward, let's get all the rankings and stuff. Let's say Saturday goes absolutely your way, you're happy with everything, you get the win. Is there anyone in that kind of sort of top, you know, sort of 10 to 15 rankings that you would look at next? I don't want you to look past where you're going to be on Saturday night, but is there anyone that you go, I've got my eye on that person? I think that's another road then into the top 10 as you start moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously I'm thinking about Jimmy, and that's it, because I'm in this cement. But as far as like the top 15, all of them.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about all of them.
Don't care.
Don't care. I know you have to win in the sport to climb, you know, to go up higher.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to do whatever, fight whoever.
And one thing that actually has come up a few times, we were speaking with Nico earlier, and he said, you're a father. You have a couple of children?
Yeah, right? Four.
You have four children?
Yeah.
How do you do it and train?
Nico wants to know, can you catch up?
Yeah, can you?
don't catch up.
It's just like, he's like, do you ever sleep?
So does Kurt. Kurt has got five.
Oh, yeah, you got five? No, luckily, I have two with another woman, so
right, okay.
They're with her. And
right,
then I have two babies.
Amazing.
They're with my wife now.
And
so it's a balance.
And, you know, as far as, I'm obviously your babies, but the kids that are kind of slightly older, do they know what dad does for a living?
Yeah, they do.
Do you allow them to watch it? Is that something that you feel comfortable with?
Yeah, I allow them.
Yeah.
I don't know as far as the other half, if she allows it. I give it to them all 100.
Yeah.
Like, no pretense.
I asked Nico about it, is, you know, how you teach your children that it's life. You know, you win some, you lose some, you know, and but you have to accept both and learn from it and move on. Was that a process of kind of teaching that as well?
Yeah, yeah. I told him, because I was like, and not just in the fight game, just in life, I've fallen on my face, not just quite literally, just figuratively. And I had to literally, you know, get up and like just keep on going forward, or just, you know, be what my surrounding was. And I was like, hell no, I'm not going to do that. And if you know anything about me, it's like, the way I grew up was kind of like, it's kind of down there.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect to that, you, in my experience, you don't want to go down that path, because now I have like a sister and a brother, and most of them are doing like terrible.
Right.
And I'm like, I'd be damned, that'd be me.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll fight every day.
Yeah.
I'll fight in the ring, anything. Every time. You, I'll fight you right now.
Hey, yeah. hey, Pat, you better pick sides here. I need you. Pat and I go way back.
He's susceptible to calf kicks, just let you know.
I'm susceptible to everything, you know.
No, I'm kidding.
I know, and I don't have to be fast, just not the slowest person here. So I learned that, you know, a long time ago. What do you do, you know, relaxing-wise? I mean, do you relax? What do you watch on TV? What do you...
Yeah, you know, I train super hard, and then to sit down and maybe read a book or listen to a book, I watch some TV, but that gets boring. So I'm always on YouTube looking at garden, so I can learn how to, you know, grow some fruits and vegetables.
Turner, oh. So like Big Baby, like Marcus Jones.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you knew about Marcus Jones, who was on The Ultimate Fighter, played for the Bucks.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, they called him Big Baby because he did that. You know,
he gardened
at the house and... Marcus was.
See, I don't know whether you're joking.
No, seriously,
this is like an NFL thing.
No, it's
I don't understand.
You know, and Marcus Jones was the number one draft pick out of North Carolina for the Bucs.
Right.
Massive defensive lineman, very close friend of mine, and he told me he hated the NFL. He hated football.
Oh, damn.
He goes, I'm just good at it. You know, it's what I do. And
I get it.
And he did something, and then I brought Matt Hughes's belt to training camp, and like 2 years later, he's now. MMA, he was on Tough, you know, the whole nine yards. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, I don't want to say he was the first, you know, football player to come over. But tell us about your football career. I know it's
the
arena.
Yeah, arena. Right? I did a professional in Sioux City Fall, Bandits. It was terrible. So, yeah, right? Awful, man. You're talking about fighting on the carpet. Like, imagine playing football on carpet. So, okay.
Well, we had the Storm. You know, we're based in Tampa, so, you know, we had arena for a long time.
Okay, yeah. So, I didn't like it at all. And my option was to go to Canada. And I was like, look, man.
I like it less.
I told him, look, if I don't go to the NFL or get a tryout, I'm done.
Yeah.
So, I told the manager at the time. And nothing ever materialized where I got the NFL tryout. So, I started training to fight. And that was it. But college and high school and all that was fun. All American.
You didn't fancy the Canadian Football League, no?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to go there.
I couldn't believe we did a show. I was in a band and we did the national anthem for the Argonauts up there many, many years ago. And I couldn't believe how big the end zone was. And I couldn't believe how just a totally stupid, ridiculous way of playing football, Canadian football. It was literally just end zone, and that was literally it.
He should have seen an arena.
Oh, yeah, seen an arena.
Arena, like, is in T-Mobile.
Right.
Okay, so it's 50 yards. Mm-hmm. The best part is you get to keep the football if it goes in the stands.
Oh, but they've got one of these here. There's the little, I can't remember the name, the Nighthawks. There you go. That's a camp name, isn't it? The Las Vegas Nighthawks.
We had, my family and I, we had 10 tickets in the front row in the end zone for arena.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're going to love this one, I know. Yeah. So the cheerleaders would stand in front and cheer, right? They're on the carpet. And I called the office of the Tampa Bay Storm to complain. Could you please move the cheerleaders? I'm trying to get footballs.
Yeah.
You know, but the cheerleaders are in the way.
So,
you know, when it bounces, honestly, it's like they scarf on
the
it.
The only red-blooded man would ask to move the six 19-year-old cheerleaders out of the way.
I wanted the football.
I'd say bring more of them in.
What's the craziest, funniest, strangest thing that ever happened, you know, in the middle of a fight?
In the middle of a fight? Oh, man, I don't know, man.
I don't know either. That's what I'm asking.
I guess
I've had some good stories.
Not really too strange for me. Just, like, getting their sweat in my ears. And, like, I can't hear, even, like, when we break. I'm like, what the hell? I can't hear anything because their sweat is in my ear. So, yeah, I haven't had the blood yet.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so the sweat, that's all that. It's like water in my ear.
I was told a story. I don't remember who the fighter was. He was fighting Dennis Siever, who's German. And I think I've told you the story. And he said that, you know, they're talking German. And so this fighter started seeing, I don't know what the movie is, Something Bastard, Inglorious Bastard.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the movie? And he's like, he's watching in the middle of a fist fight in the back of his brain. He's watching this movie for like 10 seconds. And he's like, I got to snap out of this. I'm in a fist fight. And I'm watching a movie of whatever. And I don't even know what the movie's about. But
it's something to do with Nazis or something. I don't know. So listen, on Sunday, when you've done the weight cut, you've done all the bits and pieces, are you someone that likes to splurge on yourself? Like, you know, you want to go out and have a big meal, have a couple of drinks, eat some ice cream, a bit, you know, are you someone that does that, or are you someone that on Sunday morning you wake up and are you always just super in shape, or do you like to give yourself a few weeks after a fight to wind down and enjoy yourself a little bit?
He's asking if he eat like ice cream cakes and stuff like that.
I hate ice cream.
But do you give yourself that opportunity to enjoy yourself?
Yeah,
a lot of fighters don't do that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. At least a week or two.
Yeah.
Sometimes even three or four, depending on my family.
Yeah.
The babies and my wife, you know, they're normal. So I have to do normal things, and I don't mind. To enjoy life. And then I get back to work because sometimes, you know, it could get too long.
Sure.
So 5 weeks, I'm like, I feel terrible.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. And actually, that actually leads on to something that, are you someone that likes to, would you fight, I don't know, 6 times a year if you could? Or do you like to look at this now, especially where you are now, you know, more strategically saying, I'm going to pass on that because I feel this is a better fight, or I feel I'll you know, or are you just someone that will just go, I want to fight every week?
Right.
A lot of people are very, very different. But remember, the thing is, because ego takes over, especially as fighters. But at the end of the day, it's a business. This is for you to provide for your family. And the more successful you are in that arena, the more successful, you know, life is going to be for you and your kids, you know.
Yeah.
But do you have that mentality of, I like to be very strategic how I set my career up? Or are you just literally, I'm going to fight everybody, don't care?
Right. No, I'm a family man first. So yeah. I'm always thinking, like, whatever brings the most me enjoying my family, I'll do it. So if that's 6 times or 8 times a year, or 3 times a year, and it pays out where I can spend more time with my family, then I'll do it. But I mean, that's kind of dedication.
I get it.
How old are the babies?
They're 4 and 2. And then the oldest are 11 and 8. And it's quite good when you get your hand raised and you can provide
father.
That to me is rewarding.
I love that age. My granddaughter lives 3 doors down. She's just turned 3. And, you know, just that, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's,
now, I will say this. My parents always tell you, your children are awesome. Where do you have grandchildren? It's like nothing. It's true.
Okay.
It's like absolutely nothing. So take that. And it's, you know, she's learning how to swim and, you know, what you're going through, you know, at 4.
Yeah.
She's 3 just now starting to learn. But that age is just incredibly awesome.
And I'm learning from my daughter, who's 4. It's amazing. She's like, she talks a lot, she asks a lot of questions. She's like really interesting compared to my boys.
So listen, but as far as your children are concerned, is this something like, you know, let's say when your kids are of the correct age and they said, Dad, I want to do what you do, are you happy about that, or do you fight so they don't have to?
I clearly fight for them not to fight. So if they're listening or ever do listen, do not fight.
I'm
not happy with that.
Well, and it's funny, my grandkids, you know, 11 and 9 from my son's second marriage, you know, they train, they go to the MMA gym every night and blah, 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 blah. The 3-year-old's like, I want to fight.
Yeah.
No, you don't. I want to fight.
Yeah,
I want to fight. It's cute, but no. We really don't. What can the fans expect to see, you know, when those doors close?
Me more definitely in shape, more focused. And then, you know, I'm not going to go at them as if I did in the last bout. It'll be a little different. And then we'll see what he does, and then hopefully it goes to, I feel like it would go.
Right.
And he's out of there.
Love it.
And it's always a plan until it's not the plan, right?
Right. That's why I never make one.
Exactly. Alonzo, I appreciate your time. If we can get your address, we're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a care package from Bucked Up Energy Drink.
Awesome.
And you know, for stopping by. And, you know, I normally say enjoy the process. You've done it before, but enjoy the reward, you know, which is Saturday when you get back in the octagon.
Yes, will do. I would definitely enjoy that reward.
Eve Edwards has always said, you know, the training is the work. This is the reward, and it's like,
in the fighting,
you know, the fight on Saturday.
Yeah.
So have fun and keep an eye on Pat for me.
Okay, I will.
All right, let's go hit our final break of the afternoon, coming to you live from the UFC Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drinks.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Dale Murphy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I want you to want me.
Hello, hello, this is Robin Zander. I want you to listen to Randy Harris. That's right, he's my friend.
We are back. Final segment here coming to you from the UFC Apex. And I don't know if you saw how that whole thing, it was so funny. Because I turned over, you know, I looked over at him, and he was looking down. And I'm talking about Pat McCary. And he was wearing a hat, you know, Thug Rose. Yeah. And, you know, like, okay, Thug Rose, I'll get to it. I'll bring up some kind of funny thing. And he just said when he walked in, he goes, you know, my head was down the whole time.
Yeah.
And then I heard the voice. And after the third time, I looked up, and I'm like, holy crap. And Pat's just, you know, he's one of those guys that just lifts up.
Yeah,
just that smile, sure, or, you know, whatever. So what fight are you most looking forward to? You know, and let's be honest, this is an action-packed.
I mean,
not the fight that was originally thought was going to be the main event, which
I've got, to be honest with you, I'm such a big fan of Dricus and the way that he fights, and I think sometimes Robert Whittaker's fights can be, you know, they can be a bit slow at points and all that kind of stuff. As great as a fighter as he is, where I don't think you've got a choice if you're facing someone like Dricus. I think that could be something quite special. I always thought the Brandon Moreno Pantoja fight I thought that was always going to be two warriors just going at it. But after meeting Val and seeing the look in his eyes, and I'm telling you, you know, it's kind of terrifying. There's a moment there. He's a great guy, and the focus that he had, considering it was only 4 or 5 days' notice to take this fight with Michael, I'm very intrigued now, because that fight was always to me like, you know, right. Probably both probably going to win and step up. And that's sort of the nature of trying to create a new star. I understand that totally. But seeing this guy, seeing the shape that he's in and seeing the look that was in his eye, I wouldn't like to be facing, you know, facing him in an octagon. So, to be honest with you, I really wasn't putting much hope into that particular one.
Right.
I can't wait for that fight now. Just to see, because, I mean, it literally was a terrifying stare that he could put on. Yeah. I was like, I wouldn't like to have to face that.
The demeanor of how he changed when I said, are you offended by what, you know, and we both said it.
Yeah.
And we said it before, and we even said it to him, that you have nothing to lose. Well, he does.
Yeah.
He still does. And you could see how his whole demeanor changed because everybody's assuming.
And, of course, you know what it's like when you do a media day like today and the fighters come in and, you know, I'd like to think the majority of the time we try to ask questions that not other people will do, because, you know, it's that thing of, hey, how was training going? Right. You know, what's your game plan? Right. Well, that's ridiculous questions to ask. And they've probably heard the same question 4 or 5 times earlier. But it was, you know, great chatting with him and everything, but I couldn't get my head around the, and he's heard that 4 or 5 times in this last week.
Sure.
Well, you're an underdog. You're going to be, you know, thrown to the wolves as such. And like I said, it was so funny because he was furious that's what people thought of him. And just because you've never necessarily heard of the guy and spent a lot of time watching his fights doesn't mean anything, really. You know, at the end of the day, Bo Nickel is very inexperienced at this level as well.
Yeah.
So you're going, it's very intriguing. But he was livid. He was livid that people would think that of him.
I would say that Bo Nickel is less experienced.
Sure.
You know, he has more fights. Look at who he's trained. Now, Bo trains with some guys as well. I'm not saying he's not. You know, but he trains with some hate to use the word killers, but you know, Rowe and Perry and Alex Nicholson.
Yeah,
and, you know,
there's
these aren't just
mindset
their, right
at that gym. Yeah,
yeah. So that obviously the Robbie Lawler fight. I mean, not that Robbie Lawler needs any incentive, because that's not how Robbie Lawler fights. Yeah. You know, he's balls to the wall and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But knowing, and I've always said this though, I'm not a big fan of this is my last fight.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. did you train like you really are supposed to?
Yeah.
You know, when you know this is your last fight.
Sure.
Again, I've known Robbie a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything would be different, but I hate when two close friends fight. I just hate it.
But more importantly.
Personally. Yeah. Now, you know, oh, I didn't know you were still there.
Oh, I'm still here. And I'm more interested in the authentic Mexican belt that was customized for Yair Rodriguez, and your thoughts on personalization of UFC belts in the future.
So Matt, here was the question I was going to ask before we had Alonzo on. So on all of the billboards, you'll see Volkanovski and Yair Rodriguez, and they've both got a belt on. Now, this infuriates me because I don't think interim belts should exist.
I agree.
I think it's you are the number one contender. That there shouldn't be a belt for being the number one contender. I understand why they do it, because, you know, when you have an inactive champion or whatever it may be, it's a way of saying. And now they've started to sneak into the television broadcast world champion. He's not a world champion. Yair Rodriguez is not a world champion.
Right.
He is the number one contender.
Right.
And he may well be on Saturday, but right now he's not. And I'm even looking at one of the pictures now of the two of them, and he's holding a belt.
Yeah.
Now, it just blows my mind. Blows my mind. How is that even a thing? And then obviously now with the customization, that's something that's crept in boxing, and you don't even have to get me started on the amount of belts that can be won in boxing. But you're going, we don't need to be taking this sport down that road. Not for me.
Personally. Well, and Matt, you know where I stand. You know the same thing. Interim belts to me are fake belts.
Yeah,
they're,
for sure.
They're useless.
It's just not a thing. But people walk around and parade them around like. I don't go, what are you, what, you know, it's like buying one at like Toys R Us or something like that, and just.
Well, at WWE, you can buy it at the store.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of the same thing to me, but the customizer, I don't mind things like, you know, I don't mind the BMF title. I think that's kind of a nice little thing to nod.
It was unique. It was cool.
You know, and I mean, I'm told that the Gaethje Poirier thing,
it
that's
is.
For the BMF, right?
Yeah.
So I love that. There's two warriors going for it, and it's a little nod to the real hard nuts that just go in and bang. And I love that. And I think that's a really kind of fun thing. But this idea of, like, you know, just, I mean, where are we going to stop? Are we going to put an Australian flag now on the featherweight title? You know, it's just, come on.
Well, I'll tell you who deserves to have a belt around their waist, and deservingly so. Jaws, Joey Chestnut, won the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship in Brooklyn over the weekend to celebrate the July 4th. Nothing more Americana than watching a guy shove 62 hot dogs down his throat in 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And in similar news, Randy, the body that built Randy Harris, Ben and Jerry's, are facing backlash over their July 4th message, saying that the American land was stolen and that we should return Mount Rushmore to its rightful owners.
Why don't we return the whole country then?
Well, I think they're down for that. I mean, they don't want it.
That's the problem. You know, they don't want it. All right, so I was going to wait another couple minutes, but I know that, Matt, you're getting ready to leave. So since we always give – and I'm breaking tradition here, okay, because, like, what did I tell Travis Thompson last week?
Be here, be part of the show. You're a co-host, not an interviewee.
Right. You're not a guest. You're not a celebrity.
You're part of the show.
You know, you're part of the team. So, you know, Jimmy, who is a celebrity, but I've said the same thing to him. You know, I've said, you know, you're part of the show. You're the co-host. You're, you know, this, that, the other. But I kind of felt like I wanted to bring Jimmy something for anything you do for the show for us.
Right, okay.
So we have for you a gift certificate to Ike's shop. Have you ever been there?
I have not.
Oh, my God. They are very good.
I have not.
They are very, very good.
Oh, my Lord.
So the plan is that we're going to go, so I want to bring you, and then I have a gift certificate for you as well.
Mate, that's very kind of you. Thank you so much.
And, Matt, you don't get one.
Well, I know Ike. I was the one to introduce you to Ike.
Yes, you did. Ike's is only out here on the West Coast.
Great guy.
So it doesn't do us any good.
That's very kind.
You're welcome.
It's funny. I actually planned on fasting today.
Well, if you read the back of the card, you have to send it in, so you may still be fasting today.
There you go.
I thought. And Randy, I thought you were going to bring him one of the ice creams that Ben and Jerry named after you, the Chubby Wubby.
Why are you ripping me? Because I'm so somebody away from home, and you're leaving. He's leaving for. This weekend.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So he'll be gone.
I'll be your South American informant. I'll be down there training. Well, last time you went to Colombia, you guys took, you know, people with you to the country. Informants and such.
There were some interesting stories in Colombia that we won't talk about live on the air. I'll tell Jimmy the one story.
I'll get some jitsu in while I'm down there. And then did you see the picture I sent you, Randy, on your text?
No, believe it or not, I was doing a live radio show.
Well,
so what
USF is taking on Alabama September 16th at Ray J. So get your tickets now.
Okay. USF is or Alabama's favored by how many? 42?
Well, that's just before half.
Okay.
Yeah, 97. Right.
What fight are you looking forward to on Saturday?
Myself? I mean, how can you ever sleep on Brandon Moreno? I mean, the kid's a stud. You know, that's your co-main event, your flyweight. I think I want to see that Moreno fight. I think Alexander's going to dominate. I think the main event, it's always the co-main event or the fights leading up to the main event that usually are the ones that are like spectacular, right?
So, all right, before we run out of time, I want to ask, and I know your answer, we've talked about it, but you know, chime in as well. But Jimmy, did you watch the Topuria fight?
Oh yeah.
How is that fight of the night?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because you take an ass whooping for 25 minutes, does it make it a fight of the night?
No, not at all. I mean, God bless.
That he took an ass whooping
for what he did. And the balls on the man was unbelievable.
Sure,
but no, I don't agree with that. A performance maybe, but not fight of the night.
Right, it should have been performance of the night for Topuria.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you reward a guy who had the basketballs to withstand 50-42 isn't fight of the night.
No.
Well, I stole this from another place, so I won't give any credit. But I'm gonna say. I wish they judged the fight on how they looked after the fight.
Are you talking just in general?
Just in general, like that's the tattoo that I see on the meme. But it says I wish they judged the fight on how they looked after the fight, meaning how much damage they took. How do they look afterwards? You know, take that into consideration for scoring.
No, you can't do that because look at somebody like Diaz, you know, who has so much scar tissue. Yeah. You punch him one time, it looks like he got run over by a Mack truck.
And there's some fighters that just don't cut.
Right.
And then there's those that do.
And some that they cut, you know, and you can't do that. You can't. But all is good. All right. So Saturday tonight, we'll be doing a little flat stuff. Then the press conference tomorrow. At Slap, you gonna watch it, Matthew?
Oh yeah, I gotta watch it. Tim Sylvia, right?
No, Tim Sylvia's in a different organization. But thanks for tuning in. Tim fought last Saturday.
Oh, do you have an opponent for me? Who am I fighting? Do I need to get a fight?
Oh yeah, I have. No, I'm working on the details. Trust me. And this is everything that you want.
Yeah.
Except for the ass. And the loss you're going to get.
Wow.
But other than that, trust me, it's if I can talk him into doing it, this is everything that you want.
Okay. I accept. Let's go.
And I'm a winner. I'll be cornering your opponent.
That's fine. Fine with me. You make it a tag team match. Come on in.
No. I've cornered before, and I'm sticking with it. But once I speak to him about it, I haven't even ran it by him yet. I mean, this may just be in a closed facility, but it'll be filmed, and there will be a ton of views that'll be on it.
All right,
that's all we'll say.
I accept.
All right, I'll give you a holler in a little bit. Go get to work.
See ya.
Jimmy, as always, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for my card.
It's just the start of what's going to be a really fun week.
Yeah.
And that's it for now. Check out the YouTube channel. A lot of stuff will be popping up on social media here shortly. Coming to you live from the UFC Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Eat Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. Talk to you later.
My tribe went down in the Hall of Fame, cause I'm the one who shot Jesse James. Power for power, I will never break down.
Big bang.
No, sir, I don't mess around.
Oh!
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.